Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Today on Think About It, we're honored to have Steve Maniacci, the athletic director at Houston Baptist University. And we're all very interested in all the 17 Division I sports at HBU and what that's meant during the challenging year of 2020. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, so give us an idea of what your world's been like. I've been just admiring you leading in the midst of challenges, and we know challenges come, but tell us about HBU sports, where we're at, and what's been going on.
Well, I have to give you a little bit of background on where we are. This all obviously started for all of us back in March. We actually literally on the day that the NCAA decided to shut down athletics, and almost to the minute, we had one of our athletes competing in the triple jump at the NCAA National Championship on the runway, ready to jump, and he was called off the runway and sent home. And so that athlete was currently ranked at that point number 3 in the NCAA and was getting ready to jump to try to win an NCAA National Championship for HBU and just didn't get the chance to do that. So that kind of sums up some of the dejection of the athletes that we're seeing. And we then, of course, had no athletic competitions for the remainder of the spring. Most of our athletes went home. Some of them stayed on campus. Some of them, it was safer for them to stay here, quite frankly, than it was to go home. Some of them, the learning conditions were better here than they would be able to achieve at home. And so they stayed here on campus. Most of them left, however. We started bringing our athletes back for second summer, which is right after the 4th of July. We started with the football program and started bringing the football players back. We brought the women's soccer players back and the volleyball team back with the thoughts at that point that we were going to have full seasons in all those sports. Of course, that's not the way it has worked out. Subsequent to bringing them back, the decision was made that the Southland Conference would not have conference competition this fall. And so the fall sports are going to attempt to play in the spring of the year, full seasons, conference seasons in the spring. We made a decision as a university to go ahead and play our contracted non-conference games in volleyball, women's soccer, and football. And because those had already been contracted prior to that, and we always try to live up to our contracts. So we have 3 football games. As it's shaken out, we ended up only having 1 women's soccer game, and we have 6 volleyball games scheduled. And so that will be the summation of our fall schedule this year. We will try to regroup. We hope yet to play basketball starting in November, but that remains to be seen yet, as does everything, obviously, in this time. We hope that testing will be such that it'll be much less expensive by that time and be much more frequent, and we'll be able to test at such a rate that should there be a problem, we'll be able to carefully and quickly isolate that problem and continue to play. But that remains to be seen, and we just don't know at this time.
Well, we do anticipate a vaccine and a lot of hopeful quick healing, and that spring gives a big note of optimism. Let's come in closer on the fall. I mean, tell us, isolate those 3 sports, and as disappointing as it's been, the HBU has got formidable football game. So where do you want to begin?
Well, let's talk about that. We originally set out with a fall non-conference schedule that had North Texas, Texas Southern, and Texas Wesleyan on it. And I'm trying to remember the dates. I think it was around July the 10th, somewhere in that area. We found out that the SWAC, which TSU is a member of, had decided not to play football. Previously, I had agreed with Louisiana Tech that if the SWAC decided not to play, We were playing TSU and they were playing Prairie View on the same day. If they decided not to play, we would agree to play each other. And so that's how the La Tech game came about, is because the SWAC stopped playing. Subsequent to that, maybe a day later, Texas Wesleyan reached out to us and said, look, we don't think our league is going to allow us to play. So if you guys need to go find another game, go find another game. Well, so we knew that Texas Tech had lost, I believe, the Arizona State game because the Pac-12 had decided they were not going to play at that point. They were not going to play any non-conference games. And so we knew Texas Tech was looking for a ball game. And so we're very fortunate that Tyler Chovanec, whose father is the president of Texas Tech, is on our football staff here. And a number of our coaches have Texas Tech connections to it. So we reached out to Tech and we said, would you all be interested in entertaining us out there? And they said, let's think about it. We got to figure it out, see what we're going to do. Took about, almost a month, I think, of wrangling back and forth. But finally, they agreed that they would play us out there. So that's how we ended up with those three football games. Certainly wasn't our intention to play that formidable a schedule going into the year. Not probably something that I would set out to have done. And probably had we played with the intention of playing a full conference season, I probably still wouldn't have thought to do. But with there being no conference season at all and those being the only three games, we figured, why not? Let's go test ourselves and see how good we are. Interestingly enough, I think we have a really fine football team this year. And I think we would have been competing for a conference championship had we played this year.
Yeah.
So I think we have the team that can line up and play in these games. This will be the first time that we'll have played a Power 5 team in Texas Tech. So it's a very interesting matchup, as I say, because a lot of our staff has ties to Texas Tech. And, of course, Tyler's dad being the president out there just magnifies it a little bit.
That sounds really exciting. I mean, as disappointing and challenging as 2020 has been, and there's probably some disguised, stretching, growing opportunities. And who knows what's going to happen, hey?
Exactly. You know, as always, we're going to kick it off with the thought that we're going out there to win. So in all three of these ball games, we'll be stretched in all three of these ball games. There is a thought that the talent level may be equal with Texas Tech in a couple of these other games that we're playing also. So we'll see. North Texas, who we start off with, has been in a bowl game the last, I think, 5 or 6 years in a row. They have been very, very, very good. I think they've lost a couple of players over last year from last year's team that didn't return or weren't seniors and graduated. So, you know, we're not sure they're the same team they were last year, but last year they were pretty darn good. They were one of the best teams, if not the best team in Conference USA last year.
And remind us again, Steve, of the three games and the dates and times and how everybody in Houston can participate.
Sure. So we start off with North Texas this weekend at 6:30, and it's an ESPN3 ball game. It'll be on ESPN3, I believe.
Sure.
Then
what time will that be, Steve?
And that's at 6:30 kickoff. And then next week, we travel out to Lubbock to play Texas Tech. That is a 7 p.m. kickoff and is on ESPN Plus. We take a week off.
And that's September 5, right?
Yeah, so September 5 is this one. September 12 will be next week.
Yes.
We take a week off on the 19th. Then we return to play on the 26th at Louisiana Tech. And I believe that is a 6 p.m. ball game and also will be on ESPN Plus.
Wow.
So those will be the three games. My understanding is that each of those schools is allowing 25% attendance. So, and all three schools were gracious enough to give us 300 tickets so that our parents could travel to those games. So we're expecting for us to have a pretty good turnout from just our parents at those games. So for those in the stands, you know, now we're in a situation where, quite frankly, if we're like for this weekend, we think there'll be 8,000 probably total fans in the stands, but 300 of them will be HBU rooters. So that's a little different than 300 among 30,000. So it increases our odds even more.
Very exciting. I mean, you know, God takes disappointments and turns them into appointments. Who knows how all this is going to help stretch the team. You know, if you would, for a minute, and I mean ESPN, lots of coverage for HBU in a way unprecedented. Very, very exciting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do you get a football team that had to adjust to COVID to get the physicality necessary for such challenging games?
Well, that's an interesting point, Jerry. And to be honest with you, I would tell you that my guess is neither team will be at optimal physical shape for these first couple games. Normally, we would have a spring practice. And normally we would have most of our kids on campus all summer long training in this heat. And that hasn't happened this summer. As I say, they didn't really come back to campus. They didn't get their spring practice and they didn't come back to campus until 1st of July or mid-July. And so they really haven't had the kind of training, nor has Texas Tech had the kind of training that we would normally see going into the first week of the football season. But the point about it is that it's a level playing field because neither one of us has had the kind of training that we would normally have going in. The biggest fear that you have going into these games is to make sure that you've trained well enough so that you don't get a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are at that point. I think we're okay from an injury prevention standpoint. I just don't know that we are as well prepared as we would be under normal circumstances. But as I say, the same, you know, you could say the same thing about Texas Tech. You could say the same thing about North Texas. Nobody, this isn't normal for anybody. This isn't a normal preparatory period for any of us.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to go play these games. And as I say, the biggest goal probably is to not get a lot of injuries coming out of this. And then just see where we are at the end of it and then get ourselves ready for next year.
Now we have one sport where they have their first and last game. So how's the mood of the team? And tell us about that.
So that would be women's soccer, who because of cancellations from other teams is now down to only one team, one game. And that would be Sunday night at 7 o'clock here on our campus. That will be our only home game of the fall of this season. They're ready to go. They're raring to go. They're excited about it. They're all fired up at it. It's very interesting because I was just talking to Coach Jones this morning about it. And so when we go into the game, she's going to give her opening of the season speech before the start of the game. And then at halftime, she's going to give her closing of the season. We've only got, you know, it's another 45 minutes. Let's push through to the end of the season. Let's really show well at the second half here, that kind of thing. So it's going to be opening game and parents' night all on the same night for us.
And then the third sport, let's talk about its schedule.
Yep, third sport's volleyball, and unfortunately they don't have any at home. They actually travel over to Louisiana this week to play over in Louisiana. They're going to Louisiana Lafayette to play a couple games this weekend. And so interestingly enough, Friday night they will play their first volleyball game. And Friday night is normally the opening of the volleyball season. However, because of all the cancellations around the country and folks not playing, the only game in the country Friday night will be us and Louisiana Lafayette. And so that's already begun to get a little bit of national attention. We got a call from USA Volleyball the other day about it, and Volleyball Weekly, which is a big magazine of the volleyball community, they're going to show up to cover the match.
Cool.
That'll be really good publicity for our volleyball team to kind of kick off the season here. As I say, they've got six matches spread out over the next 3 or 4 weeks. No home matches, unfortunately. The anticipation is that we'll have a conference season in the spring, and so we'll be able to get everybody back together after Christmas and get going again.
That's so great. Hey, Steve, so talk about, I mean, when you read Don Loser's book, Act of Providence, and you understand the 60-year history of HBU, I mean, it was literally built on resiliency, powering through tons and tons of challenges and trials and tribulations. And, you know, so really, in a sense, 2020 COVID's no different than the history of HBU, whether it be Hurricane Harvey or whatever. What's it like, the mood of the coaches? And, I mean, you as the athletic director, I mean, tell us what your takeaway is of this whole experience.
Well, okay, Jerry, I will. The mood of the coaches now is really good. I would say the move of the coaches back in March was uncertainty.
Sure.
Nobody knew what was going to happen next. So you didn't know where to turn. Plus, the coaches didn't have their athletes around them. And to be honest, our coaches act in loco parentis, which means as parents. And so for them not to have their kids around them, I mean, it's the same thing as any parent would be if their kids all of a sudden went away and they didn't get to see them when they thought they were going to be seeing them. Our coaches have a great impact on our student athletes' lives, not just on the field, but off. And so to not have that impact is troubling to the coaches. And so at least we're in a situation where our athletes are back on campus for the most part. Now, some of them haven't shown back up yet, but most of them are back on campus. And just to, for them to have the ability to be able to mentor to their student athletes, you see a calming effect on the coaches also because of that. And so that's probably the most important takeaway from this, is that there really is, and it's one thing to do like you and I are doing right now in a Zoom call. And our coaches had very many Zoom calls with their student athletes. But that's not the same thing as putting your hand around their shoulder and giving them a hug and making sure they're doing all right and physically seeing that they're doing all right is not the same thing.
Right.
And so it's really important that physicality of being able to see them, talk to them, reach out and slap them on the back and give them a hug. That's really important. It's really important to the kids. It's really important to the coaches. So having everybody back on campus, even if we can't compete as normal, is a huge step forward from where we were last spring.
Well, and you have been just a tremendous leader. You've got such a great team. I mean, we just commend all of you. I mean, it's been exciting to see how you've hung in there. We know better days are ahead. You know, we've got some big games, so we're going to be rooting you on and watching. It's kind of cool, ESPN. I mean, how simple is that? Turn on your television and you can watch the Huskies play.
Right, exactly.
What do you think about this young quarterback of ours?
Bailey it has truly matured into a great leader. Not just a quarterback, but a leader. And he goes into the year ranked as the number two quarterback. He's an All-American. He's the number two ranked quarterback in all of FCS football.
Wow.
He has shown very well in big games. He's one of those guys who shows up when you turn the lights on and it's a big time game, he shows up. And so I don't think any of our guys would want to go into battle with anybody else other than him under the center. So we're looking for, you know, we were looking for fantastic things for him this year. With the NCAA rules the way they are, he now has the option to come back for another year. Every athlete got granted another year because cool. They're going to miss this year. So he has the opportunity to come back. Now, whether he chooses to come back is up to him. I don't know what his professional potential will be yet, whether they'll reach out to him and want to take him away from us or not. We'll see. So, you know, we're hoping for great things from him from these first three games. But moreover, we're hoping that we maybe get another year out of him next year, and we really are well off going into next year.
Well, we hope the same thing. And Steve, we're with you. 17 Division I sports at HBU. This is a great opportunity to not only experience athletics in Division I Southland Conference, which is a whole different world in and of itself, but to be in a Christian environment in a unique university where coaches take the extra mile, the extra 2, 3, 4, 5 miles, they mentor and they help induce that Christian spirit that will stay with an athlete for a lifetime. It'll certainly benefit their marriage, the children someday they'll raise. All that is at Houston Baptist, and it's the reason why you need to really make Houston Baptist University the home for your son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter. Steve Maniacci, the athletic director, we're really excited. Thanks so much, Steve, for your time with us today. We're going to be excited to just watch the whole story unfold, and we know good things are ahead.
Well, thank you, Jerry, and as always, dogs up.
That's right. Have a great day.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.